Thanks for checking out this bonus interview with Tommy Breedlove for Chapter 3 of Performance Driven Giving. My name is Kent Sanders, and I'm a writer who collaborated with David Hancock and Bobby Kipper on the book. Just a quick note before we get to the interview. You may notice that these interviews have a bit of a different feel than what you're used to hearing on a podcast interview or another setting. And the reason is because these have been edited for clarity and flow to let the material on giving really shine through. We appreciate you listening and hope you enjoy this conversation with Tommy Breedlove. So let's just dive into this. So in your book, you write about living the good life. How do you define the good life, and what part does giving play in that?
So for me, everything starts and ends with giving. I think I'm going to tie two things in together here. Purpose, I believe every human being on earth until their very last breath has a purpose. I also believe that our purpose changes depending on the seasons of our lives. As our desires change, our circumstances change, things around us in our world change, as to our purpose changes. And so giving and living the good life are very, very much in sync. For me, the giving part of it, the purpose part of it, the serving part of it, I believe purpose is about something bigger than us. I believe it's about serving our planet or our fellow human beings to make it a little bit better than we found it. And for as it relates to living the good life, fulfillment, significance, peace of mind, not looking up at the stars and asking why I'm here. What does this all mean? The giving part of it, the purpose part of life, the why we are here, that is essential to living the good life, because you can and travel and eat the greatest foods in the world and have the nicest, fanciest things and get to do really cool things. But if you're doing that with no intention or no purpose, it's action without intention and intention without action are meaningless. And so the purpose gives us that fulfillment. It gives us that something bigger than ourselves. It connects us with God. It helps remove our monkey brain. You know, I call it the Tommy go round in my book. It helps us remove that brain so that our soul. So they're very much related in the fulfillment, peace, giving, significance, and meaning to life. So I think you can't have one without the other, because I know a lot of people in my space who are very financially successful, and they're socialites, and they're in the scene in all these different cities. But at the end of the day, they're not fulfilled and they're not happy. It's because they have no purpose. And so they go hand in hand. But for me, living the good life starts with living life without regrets. So many of us get caught into the day-to-day grind or get caught into what other people think. And so we stop living our lives with our hearts and our minds. We don't travel to the places we want to go to out of fear. We don't open our minds and listen to other people from other cultures or other religions or other races. And we get closed up into our communities and thinking this way is the right way. For me, living the good life is experiencing life to its fullest without regrets. If you want to take a risk and get into the arena and write a book or start a company or paint a picture or start a coffee shop or become a pastor, whatever you want to do is getting in the arena and not worry about all of the secondary minutiae and what other people think and, you know, how we were raised. And let's break the norm, chase our dreams, live without regrets, travel the world, experience cultures, take care of our mind, bodies, and souls. I think a lot of us, and I was one of them, that put myself last. You know, I wasn't taking care of my emotional health, my mental health, my spiritual health, my physical health. It was just about working and making money, working because I thought that would make me happy. Where living the good life is a holistic way of living life, to where you build your heart muscles, your mind muscles, your spirit muscles, and then your physical muscles so that you can live and serve. And finally, it's about living life without regrets, living a happy life, a fulfilled life, travel, eat, experience, live, and go out and chase your dreams so that when our last breath comes, and that's the only thing we're guaranteed is our last breath will come, is that God willing, we look up and we say, I did it my way, a little Frank Sinatra there, but you know, no regrets. I live life with meaning and purpose. I served, I laughed, I loved, and it's all about love, laughter, and all things goodness. And to me, that's living the good life, my brother.
Do you realize you speak in sound bites?
No.
That is,
I don't even know what that means, but whatever that means.
What I mean is, I've only talked to I could probably count on one hand the number of people who have, I just call it a gift, where you have a way of articulating your thoughts and ideas in such a clear way that it's like you could put that in a tweet. Like I could take everything you just said and almost verbatim chop it up into about 25 tweets.
Oh, wow.
And it's like magical. Like,
are you
like
recording you really this, have a by gift. The way? Are you thank you. Are you recording this?
Yeah.
Will you send me the recording?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll do.
I'm an accountant by trade. So I have no classical training in sound bites, video. I've done a lot of bazillion podcasts now. Let's be clear. And I've done a lot of radio and TV interviews, but I'm not classically trained in any of it. Maybe I speak in sound, and I thank you for saying that's a compliment because I didn't know what that meant. I was like, oh no, please don't call me a newscaster.
Oh no. No, I just mean
I'm very, very thankful for that. So thank you.
Yeah. Most of us, and I would say including me, I tend to have to ramble on a little bit to kind of clarify my thoughts, but you have a way of just articulating things in a very memorable and I would almost say like a musical way, because I think part of that is there's a rhythm to good speaking and good communication. So you have some kind of inborn natural gifting for that, which is really, really cool. I love it.
Oh, thank you. maybe that's why this has been a little more successful than I had originally thought. I don't know anything about podcasting and writing books, and I don't know anything about this, but I've truly loved it. So thank you for that wonderful compliment.
Yeah, absolutely. So I asked Dan Miller a similar question as this next one, and I'm curious what you think of it as well. So most people think of giving as something that takes away from their life. You know, they think of it as a one-way transactional kind of a thing. And Dan works with a lot of people who are in desperate situations. They need a career pivot. They're in a desperate money situation or something like that. But how can people who are in a desperate situation, how can giving help them to become more financially free? Because it's the opposite of what most people think. But how does giving play a role in their success if they're in a very dark and desperate spot?
It is the road to getting out of that spot, but it is not the only road. We are a holistic stew, and I'll stick with the giving to start with, but then I'll also finish it with something else. For me, there's a billion ways to give, and all of the great, I mean, you're a professor, you've studied ancient wisdom. You've studied the Bible, all of the ancient wisdom from the Greeks to the great writers, that were divinely inspired for the Bible to the Buddhists, the Stoics, they all talk about giving, and they all mention it in a lot of different ways. And that's why these texts have lived for thousands and thousands of years, because truth is truth. And so for the people who are at their low, and even to this day, I give until I can't. And the most valuable gift we can give is our time. People think like writing a check is the best way to give a gift, or handing somebody a dollar. It's a great gift, but that doesn't teach people to fish. And so to me, giving of your time it's the most precious asset we have. Health and time. That's our two most precious assets, whether we know it or not. Then becomes our family and friends, and then becomes our money. So when we give our time, there's a universal force. Some call it Holy Spirit. Some call it universal intelligence, energy, karma, ego. There's a lot of different ways to say it. There's an universal intelligence, and you can't have good without evil. You can't have right without wrong and light without dark. But when you give, when you give the gift of your time and you serve someone, and it could be as simple as a smile, a good day, or you could give some wisdom, or you could give some advice to help them be somewhere else. Even if you're in the lowest of the low, you're down financially, you're down in your relationships, you're down in life. If you just continue to give and make it about something bigger than you, it comes back to you almost 2, 3, 4, 5, 10x. And I bet if you ask every single person that you're going to interview for this wonderful book, they will say the exact same thing. Sow as you sow, you will reap. If you give, you will receive. And you have to give unconditionally too. You can't do scorekeeping. And I think so many people in business start keeping score. But Tony Robbins has an incredible story. We had his last dime. True or not, it's a great story. It's a great fact, or it's a great parable, where he bought someone dinner and he was on his last dime, because he saw a young woman and her kid, and they were destitute, as he was, and he gave his last dime. The most successful coach that there's ever been today, like him or not like him, because he gave. And for me, even to this day, I get paid for my judgment. I get paid for my discernment, and I get paid to get the best out of people. And a young man called me yesterday, destitute with his wife. His affair has happened. He can't afford me. He's just low. He's lost his job. He's been laid off due to COVID. That's not a time for me to say, hey, if I want to help you, you've got to pay this X amount for coaching. I just spoke into his life and held space, and we'll have coffee with him the next week. Is we have to know when to give and when not to give. But giving without boundaries is also dangerous. And so we always give, we always serve, and we always give the gift of our time. But we got to be careful. There's a lot of people out there unconsciously who will just want to take, 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 take. So we give unconditionally with boundaries, but eventually they have to stand up and do it on their own. That's how I'll finish this. Is giving comes back to you 5, 10, 20X in love, light, success, abundance, hope, all the goodness, right? And you know, when we give, whether it's a gift of thanks, gratitude, what comes back to us is grace, by the way. I mean, that's what comes back to us when we give. But here's the last part. There's got to be a point to where we stop giving. We can't enable with our giving. And so we must, people must look in the mirror and know that's their problem and their solution. That's their problem and solution. We can show them the wisdom. We can show them the water. We can give our time. We can give our energy. We can even give our money. But if they won't take personal accountability to their happiness or action, it doesn't matter.
That's a whole book right there. I'm just going to take that and make that the whole book.
Write a bunch of books. We'll co-write them together.
Oh, man. It's just, that's life transforming. It really is. And you're saying almost verbatim what several other people have said. There's a ridiculous commonality between,
and there's a reason we're all friends.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's hard to explain to people because there's so much intangible, there's so much woo-woo, there's so much God in all of this. But again, to me, it's intention without action, and action without intention is meaningless. And I learned that, by the way. That is not mine. That's James Victor's. It's so powerful to me that it's the old parable. There's the flood coming and the helicopter comes and says, get in. The boat comes and says, get in. The guy drowns and he's in heaven. He's like, God, why didn't you save me? He goes, well, I sent you a boat, a helicopter. You know, why didn't you get the boat? We have to take personal responsibility and accountability. And we have to take action in our lives along with all of the intangibles to make our lives as happy. And that starts with serving. And so I'll stop talking.
I love it.
All those people believe that, though, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things you talk about in your book is mindset. And just a little side note. So as I'm reading through your book, you know, each one of those chapters could become a whole book in itself.
I know.
So as I'm looking at that, I'm just going, man, I wish he'd do a whole book about this and about this, because it's all such important stuff, but you only have so much space in the book. So you talk about mindset. How can somebody who does not have a mindset of giving and generosity, how do they start to develop that if they don't have that worldview and way of thinking currently?
I want to start with the first thing you said is you should see the cutting room floor. There's about 300 pages that didn't make it. Nick Pavlidis was instrumental in that. He's like, look, man, you can't give them 47 years of knowledge in one book, but the intention is to write a whole bunch of books based on this one book to go steps deeper. But let's get him back. Ask me the question one more time so I make sure I'm totally zoned in.
How can somebody develop a mindset of giving and generosity if they don't have one already?
Yeah. And the first thing they've got to know is that it's okay if they don't have one. That was taught to them via culture, parenting. There's a reason that I want them to know they're not alone. And there's nothing that can't be unwired. And so our beliefs are the way our brain fires. Even if they don't have a mindset of giving, which means they're taking. By the way, that's a scarcity mindset. That's a very me-focused mindset. It's a very ego-focused mindset. And at the end of the day, it will not reward you as much as an abundance, love, serving, giving mindset. It is limited, it's competitive, and someone has to lose in order for you to win. And in the long run, that's going to hurt that particular person. But here's the thing. If they don't have a giving, serving mindset, there has to be a deep, dark desire for it. There has to be a desire for them to want. They have to want it. If you don't want to have that, you're not going to have it. if you don't want to be a giver, if you don't want to serve, if you don't want to be better, if you're unconscious to all that, this is all meaningless.
Right.
But if you want to be better, if you have a burning desire to be a giver, to serve, to make impact, to live a life of significance, it starts there. So they must have a desire. The second thing they've got to do is start rewiring their heart and mind from scarcity, competitiveness, taking, anger, judgment, victimhood, me versus them. And they've got to start rewiring slowly. And this is a slow process. It's just like going to the gym, working on your heart and mind muscles, your mindset and your heart muscles, to gain self-confidence, self-respect, self-love, so that then you can go love and serve others. It takes time. There's two ways to do that. First of all, you have to eliminate the negative. The easiest thing to start and has the quickest impact is eliminating the negative. You've got to eliminate the people in your life who are also don't give, who are judgers, who are angry. That means you don't love them. Doesn't mean you don't love them. They just can't be around you because you're going to be like all the great wisdom says, you're going to be the five people you spend the most time with. And so if you're not hanging around with successful, loving, giving, charitable people, you're not going to be one. So you've got to replace that community. So you've got to get something negative out and put something positive in. So start making space for the people that are doing what you want to do, that you desire to be like, the people who give, the people who love, the people who are charitable. So that's the easiest way, is to take a negative way. Now, the harder thing and the most long-lasting thing is rewiring your brain with the abundance, positivity, giving spirit. Equate it to like going to the gym. If you go to the gym one time, you're not going to build strong muscles. But if you go to the gym and you're working on your heart and your physical muscles, over time, they get stronger and stronger and stronger. If you stop, they atrophy, right? Same thing goes with your mindset, your self-confidence, your unconditional love for yourself, and everything in between. So you have to start implementing tools into your life, and I'm going to give you some of them, that start rewiring your heart and brain so that you believe in yourself, that you start loving yourself. Because it's hard to be charitable and giving when you don't love you. When you're constantly in our voice inside our heads, that mindset that says, we're not good enough. We're not this. We're not this. What if they figure out I don't know what I'm doing? I'm not pretty enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not this enough. I'm blah, blah, blah. And the truth is you're not alone in those thoughts. But there's also the truth is we're all lovable, valuable, worthy, and enough. We're all lovable, valuable, worthy, and enough. But we've got to rewire our hearts and minds to believe that. So surrounding yourself with positive people, that's taking negative out and adding positive in, adding prayer, gratitude, meditation, read every single thing you can get your hands on in self-development, rewiring, law of attraction. There's all these great books out there to help you rewire your legendary. That's mine. Rewire your heart and mind so that you start building that loving, giving, charitable, but you have to be loving, giving, and charitable to yourself before you can truly be loving, giving, and charitable to others. And so for me, you have to work on you. You are a representative of everything around you, from leadership to culture, to your friends, to your happiness, to your success. It all starts in your heart and in your mind. So you rewire those with a bunch of different tools, and then you start believing yourself. And then you're just like, hey, I'm starting to love myself. So let me love and serve others. But what you don't want to become is a martyr. So if you love and serve others, again, with no boundaries and without taking care of you, you're no good to anybody. If you don't care of you, don't take care of you. Mm-hmm. So it starts and ends with you loving and caring and putting a lot of good, you know, garbage in. If you're listening to the news all day and social media all day, and you're hanging out with negative people, garbage is going to come out. Fear, insecurity, anger, taking, take the scarcity side. The abundant side has to be rewired. You have to surround yourself with it, and you've got to feel goodness. Goodness in equals goodness out. And that's a very long-winded way, and we could talk about 10 billion tools to unwire yourself, but this is my passion, by the way. So I know a lot about this. And I lived in fear, anger, insecurity, darkness. I was closed for 37 years, and it literally almost cost me everything. And I said, enough is enough. And I want to be better than this. And so I had to take the responsibility to do it myself. So I understand both sides of that coin very well.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned something that, and actually this leads perfectly into my last question. So a lot of people are great at giving, but if they don't have any self-worth, if they have no self-confidence or self-esteem, they're not very open to receiving because they don't feel worthy of receiving. So Do you have any tips for people to stay open to receiving? That's a part of this equation that oftentimes doesn't get talked about. But it is a part of it. We have to be open to receiving as well as to giving. So how does someone stay open to the gifts that others want to give to them?
Oh my gosh. Oh, talk about 10 books. Here it is. And this is the part we need to talk more about. And I hope you include, you're the writer and you're the expert, but if people feel that they can't receive love because we're not worthy of love, or we're not valuable, or we're not enough, I'm not skinny enough, smart enough, pretty enough, rich enough, I'm just not enough. And social media has taken this and put it on steroids. You know, everybody's Instagram fabulous and Facebook fabulous, and we put the best out there, our opinions out there. And so it's really made this. The first thing I would say, and this is important for people to hear, is they are not alone. And we've got to start having those conversations. All of us are scared. All of us are insecure. All of us believe we're not enough in certain ways. So the fact that knowing that you're not alone, and guys like you and I, Kent, have to tell them they're not alone, and that we struggle with this. We have our vulnerabilities, our fears, our insecurities. We're not enough. So I'm starting there because I want people to know they're not alone, because we're so darn scared to say, I'm afraid. I don't feel lovable. I don't like myself. I'm not enough. Depression is off the charts. Suicide is off the charts. Mm-hmm. Domestic violence is off the charts. Abuse of alcohol, drugs, off the charts, especially during what we're going through right now. And so we've got to start talking about these things, that they're not alone and there is hope. Second thing is, and we've talked about this a lot, enough is enough. If you're tired of being sad, alone, fearful, unsuccessful, worried, or if you're tired of that voice inside of your head that just constantly beats you to death, you know, if you talk to anybody else, like we talk to ourselves, no one would hang out with us, right? We've heard that over and over again. It's true. If you're tired of that, again, go to the nearest mirror. No, that's the problem and the solution. That's a really good thing, that you are the solution. And how do we unwire that? How do we get people to believe? And it goes back to what I said in the last, is we've got to start, and it takes time and patience, and everybody these days want a quick fix. There is no such thing that's good in life, from financial success to health to love. It all takes work. It all takes action. It all takes continued action. And so to unwire that, to start believing that you are worthy, that you are valuable. And by the way, when you're able to receive love, or you're able to receive gratitude, or you're able to start receiving, like truly receiving, don't get a compliment and defer and knock yourself down. So many people do that, right? They don't actually receive the compliment. They don't actually receive the gift. They just kind of defer it because they don't think they're worthy. When you receive that, the gift you give back, again, is grace. When you're able to receive that love, receive that gratitude, because people want to give to you. People are good. 99.9% of people, I don't care what the news says, 99.9% of people on this earth are truly good humans. And they want to give. They want to love. They want to be loved. They want to be free. They want to serve. And when you allow people to give to you, to love you, to help you unconditionally, you're giving them back the biggest gift of all, and that's grace. And so going back to it, with all these tools, from readings to coachings to masterminds to prayer to reading ancient wisdom, Stoics, Bible, Taoism, Buddhism, they all speak great truths. They all speak truths in life. They let you know that you're not alone and that you are enough, that you are worthy, that you are valuable. So again, it's just like going to the gym and it's slow. You've got to remove the negative, get rid of all the negative influences in your life. And you know what they are. What's the one thing in your life that if you got rid of that would increase your happiness 10 times? Everybody knows that answer immediately. Get that out of your life. Start adding positive people into your life. Doesn't mean you don't love the negative people. It could be even your family, right? A lot of our family systems are broken. But you still love them, but you have to surround yourself with goodness. Goodness in equals goodness out. Read everything you can get your hand on. Start a gratitude practice. Start meditating. Start reading. Start praying. And what you're doing is you're filling your soul, your heart, your mind with goodness. You're filling your heart with self-belief. And also look out there. Look out there at people that you really look up to. Follow what they're doing. because I promise you they're scared. I promise you sometimes they're lonely. They're going to die. They poop, they bleed, they love, they have snot. You know, we're all humans, right? And there's no perfect human, but they continuously do the self work. They continuously mm-hmm. want to be a little bit better than they were yesterday. They continuously keep moving forward, but they invest in themselves. Coaches, masterminds, reading, gratitude practice, meditation, prayer. Like they're constantly filling their soul, heart, and mind with goodness so that eventually over time, we start seeing the good in the world. We start thinking we're enough. We start seeing the gratitude and all the beauty and love and the learnings and light. And we stop seeing all the negative. It's a rewiring process. It takes time. It takes patience. And it takes intention and action. And I'll get off my soapbox, but that's the answer.
We hope you enjoyed this conversation with Tommy Breedlove and encourage you to check out the other interviews and the bonus content for performance-driven giving.